Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show, entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how we, together, divide and conquer in acquisitions and sales. And the whole premise here, I think, is if you have the opportunity to partner up with somebody who is better at or more interested in doing one side or the other side of anything, really, real estate investment-wise, my opinion is you're going to do better.
Totally. Well, what one person can you think? I can't think of anybody that can. You can't be perfect at it all.
Well, you're going to run out of time at some point.
Well, that too.
No matter what.
Our energy and yeah, I agree.
And there's ups and downs in everything, so I just think it's, I don't know, it seems to work for us. And I've always had business partners in the past for things that I've done, for better or for worse. But I'll tell you, it sure is a lot, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Just for my personality, it works a lot better.
Remember my dodgeball reference?
Go ahead.
This is how I see how we operate. It's like how you and I run our business and do things. It's like picking members of a dodgeball team.
How do I not remember this?
Remember when you're in, I don't know, third grade playing dodgeball and everybody lines up and you're one of the captains and there's the other captain and you're picking first the best players and then you got to divide up what's left over. So that's how we are. So it's like, if you line up everything about our business, Jack and I are pretty good. We sit there and go, all right, you're good at that. Acquisitions goes to Jack's team. I'm good at sales. Sales goes to my team. And then we get down to the crap that's left over, for lack of better words. It's like, well, all right, I'll handle the phones.
Yeah.
If you handle the tech piece, you know, kind of thing.
God, that's true.
Isn't it funny?
And then there's always that one kid at the end.
Exactly, that nobody wants.
It would be better if they weren't there at all.
Exactly. Really. I'll take them today. You take them tomorrow. Okay, fine.
Well, what's the equivalent in running a business for that?
Personnel.
I was going to say something else.
Having to let people go.
Personnel.
No, but you know what I mean.
No, I don't. You didn't even hesitate.
No, it's all like,
you didn't hesitate one bit.
That just happens. See, and nobody wants to do it. That's the sad thing, too. We got to include that kid. Come on. There's always one that can't throw a ball. Or
I'll handle personnel.
Or always gets hurt. They're always going to be one.
Speaking of dodgeball, even recently, I've watched some kids play dodgeball.
Really?
And in this day and age,
that's good.
It shocks me every time I see it that it's so violent. And it's
kind of is.
This generation doesn't let their kids even fall down on the ground and scrape their knee.
Yeah.
Let alone just get their head bashed in by the kid who's just beyond his years and size.
Yeah, you know, that's funny. We should have had helmets back then.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you would nail. Remember, kids would come back and they had those red rubber balls.
Crying.
Man. That would, like, leave a welt on your back if somebody hit you, right?
Right. I remember back when we were kids and I played dodgeball, you know, they went on record and said, please don't excessively hit someone in the face.
Oh yeah, right.
At point blank range. And if you do,
they say that.
And it's in Michigan, it was the equivalent of a penalty box. So you just go and sit in the box and laugh and horse around for like a minute.
Oh, we never had that.
And go back out, and because it's worth it. It's worth a minute timeout. You need to rest anyway.
Oh.
It all totally backfired. And here's my final point on dodgeball.
We never.
I think
that.
The coaches and gym teachers have more fun watching this.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Than everybody.
Oh, you know that. You're like, yeah, take them out. Get them for me. That's
it's
right.
It's making me feel
that
better.
That kid's
too.
Been a pain in my neck. Let them have it. Oh, I didn't see it.
What goes on in your head, Jill?
That's it. Dodgeball was really for the coaches. It wasn't for us. It's the coach's way of allowing us to just get everybody. I don't know. That's funny.
Yeah, because they can't hit the kids.
No, they can't, but we can.
Were you ever standing in the back hoping not to get hit?
Oh, yeah. Well, you just got to be fast.
I was never that person.
You know what I did? You just got to be fast, and you got to get behind someone bigger than you.
That was
my strategy.
I was the guy standing in front causing all the problems for everyone.
You're like, bring it. Bring it. You're that kid?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I was the enforcer.
Oh, no. You were like, did you like stare down?
Oh, all that.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I was in
right.
the penalty box more than anything.
Okay, got it. Bring it. Let me have it. Because you know what I'm going to do back to you.
Nothing's changed.
Intimidating. Nice.
You know what? This rolls right into what we're talking about.
How do you win by intimidation?
Nothing's Yeah. We should stop this right now.
That's right.
Somebody's calling the American Psychological Institution right now. Take these guys off the air.
That's right. Okay.
Before we get into our actual topic, geez.
Oh, we have something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Delphine asks, hello, I would appreciate any help on this. We are pretty new to this and need some guidance. We purchased some land in an area that has a
POA.
Property
HOA
owners.
Or LOA, Property Owners Association or Landowners Association.
Right. We have sold some and financed some. On the parcels that are financed, before the association can transfer the property, the person who financed the land, they need a deed. They said they typically get a warranty deed with a vendor's lien. I only have a template for a warranty deed, nothing with a vendor's lien. Can someone help?
Yes, this is again another great question, and it's rooted in experience, and I really, really appreciate these intelligent questions. So there's two ways to sell a property on terms. The back of the napkin approach, which is what Jill and I favor, and a deed of trust. Around the different places in the country, it's called different stuff, but it's the exact same way that you buy a house with the mortgage company. You buy the house, you sign a bunch of papers, you get a loan, and the mortgage company records the deed, usually the title company records the deed on their behalf with a lien on it. And until you make your payments in 30 or 15 years, 30 years later, they release the lien because you've paid off the mortgage. And then you get a deed, you get a different deed, but you've had a deed the whole time, stuffed somewhere in a drawer. That's called deed of trust. The other way, which is what I prefer, is where there's a buyer and a seller, and we put together a little agreement in Microsoft Word, and we say you're going to pay us $150 a month for eight years at 3% interest, and when we're all done, we're going to record the deed. We'll do it for you. We'll record the deed at the county, and then we're done. You own the property free and clear. You own it anyway the day we're signing it. It's just got a lien on it because we're acting as the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Hope that's clear. Is it clear, Joe?
Owner financing. Exactly.
So, when you have a POA or a homeowners association, is it really necessary to tell them that this is all going on? That's my question to you, Joe.
You know, so here's my thoughts on this. I'm not a fan.
Neither am I.
And there's two ways that I would do it. One is I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't
own a finance.
I wouldn't either, Jill. I would avoid this.
Because here's the thing. I wouldn't own a finance because I'm responsible for the POA fees or the HOA fees until this is all done. So I don't want to be responsible. And how do I know that they're really paying them? So my only other choice is I add that on, which I could do. That would be the only way that I would do it. As I would, and like you said, Jack, I wouldn't even go there. If I'm an owner, finance it, I wouldn't transfer the property. I'd have them make payments to me directly, plus the HOA fees every month. And then I know it's all getting paid because then I'm writing a check to the HOA and making sure that happens every month. And then when it's all done and said, I think you alluded to, then I transfer the property and now we're done. And then in the contract, like we all do, if anything goes sideways, it's mine. You know, I'm cool with it.
You don't have to undo anything.
Exactly.
Which happens frequently.
Exactly.
So here's the moral of the story. Look, that we got all that. We just said everything in the, you know, politically correct.
Right.
Here's the real Steve way. Ready?
Okay.
Avoid the hell out of POA property.
Yeah.
If you must buy POA property, and we do it all the time, buy it for less than $100 a property, because all POAs have tons of property they've foreclosed on. They mm-hmm. may tell you they don't, but they do.
They do.
If they tell you, no, we don't have that, then you're not talking. You got to go higher up.
Yeah.
Until you get to the president, and that person will say, oh, my gosh, you should see how much property we have. Please come and get it.
Right.
If you must buy POA property, buy it cheap and sell it for cash immediately.
Fast.
And do yourself a huge favor. Send the people that work at the POA a lot of brownies and stuff. You want them on your side because you're going to be transferring a lot of property. You do not want them to look at you like you're some evil person that's causing work for them.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, and by the way, one last point here on the last sentence is, do they typically get a warranty deed with a vendor's lien? I only have a template for a warranty deed, nothing with a vendor's lien. In my experience, you don't record the fact that there's a lien on the property in the actual document. And where this comes from, I think, is a car title. You know how you look at a car title and there's a spot for a lien holder.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's not how this goes.
Exactly.
It's a completely separate document.
Yeah, I was thinking one more thing. You were talking about with the county and becoming their friends. Shucks, it was good.
Send them brownies at the POA because you don't need them upset.
Exactly. I think that was it. I can't think. I'll think of it. It's all good.
Today's topic, Jill and I divide and conquer when it comes to acquisitions and sales. And I'll tell you, it hasn't always been like this. This is the meat of the show. Jill loves stories. I'm going to tell her a real brief story.
Okay.
I started what is now Land Academy, Land Investors, and all these revenue streams that we have, House Academy, in the late 90s on a coffee table by myself, long before I met Jill, and have done since that day very, very, very well, up to and including this minute. I met Jill about 10 years ago, and she had a regular job. And so one day, she was bitching about her job, not like the real crazy nutcase rant like I do. She was just upset about her job and unhappy with where it was going. So I said, you know, I got a bunch of property over here. Why don't you take a crack at it? This is how we usually do it. Why don't you, in your spare time, sell a couple properties a week? Just see what happens. Just like everybody else probably listening to this show is thinking about doing. Well, she turned it into what? $20,000-$30,000 real fast.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy fast.
Yeah.
So then I got to think, I'm like, what if this was the whole how it worked? Mm-hmm. What if this was exactly what the whole regular company was like, where she just handled sales? Because I can buy property. And most people listening to this show, if you follow what we do and follow our education steps, you can buy property all day long. I just was never in the happy about selling it. My answer was always, if it's so cheap, it sells itself. And I got away with it for a long time. I got away with that for years and years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So the end of the story, you can write the end of the story yourself. It turns out we're better together. We divide and conquer this thing. I just jam the acquisition pipeline full. And I mean jam it full till they say stop.
That's funny. I was remembering. That's good. I hadn't thought about that in a while. And I remember, like, we were going out to dinner one night. And I remember you're like going, what are you doing? I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, oh, cool. That checked out. That checked out. They checked out. And he's like, how much money is that? I remember you're looking at my phone going, what the? How did you get that much money? I'm like, I don't know. I just did what you told me to do.
I never expected that it would work. That's the truth. That's the straight,
and I was selling the stuff that, first, what was great, too, is you gave me the bunch of junk, if you will. It was like,
I gave you the
broken sunglasses.
Yeah.
Like, and I made them work. Like, okay. So, it was so darn funny. I really, all I said was, I just did what you said, you know, but apparently my little spin on it was all that was needed, my little tweak on that. So.
Well, that was my next point. So, that tweak, you know, which is what I was not willing to do, which is what I believed, and this is false, by the way. I believed that price would make up for any type of customer contact at all.
Right.
That I would just run it through an auction. We had live auctions, and we had online auctions through eBay and Bid for Assets.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no customer contact. Well, it turns out, just the slightest bit of customer contact, whether it's in an email, or in Jill's case, usually it's taking an inbound phone call or placing an outbound one just to check to make sure everything's right, mm-hmm. that creates a returning, appreciative customer for life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that was missed I was missing the mark completely until I met Joe.
Thank you.
So my point is, if you have the opportunity to work with your spouse and you're able to do that without killing each other, or you have the opportunity to work with your brother or sister or somebody who is expressing the same kind of disgust with their regular job, give it a shot. Do it part-time for a while. But I will say this, don't, if they have the same exact personality and they're interested, if you have two data people working together, it doesn't make any sense.
It's true.
I'm data, she's sales. Go ahead.
Well, the thing too, like you said about, it's really important to, it's a difference. Hiring someone versus having a partnership. It's so great. It's so much better. We all know it when they have skin in the game. If you both put in, you know, $10,000 or $50,000 or whatever it is to get this rolling, and you're both in it, that will make a difference. People just make different decisions. It's a fact. I mean, I watch our staff sometimes. I'm like, we just moved into a new office and they went a little shopping crazy. I'm like, hold on, everybody. I had to like reel them back in. I'm
really?
Like, yeah.
What kind of shopping?
I'm like, I mean, just coffee makers. And I mean, like, we have extra stuff now. And I'm like, all right, you know, and I mean, little like office supplies. That was really fun. Do we really need a stapler? We don't have that much. And do we need an expensive stapler? It's not a big deal.
Hold on.
But it was just kind of funny.
I need to rant for a second. We are all but paperless in our office.
I know.
But there is no paper.
And I know.
I make a big point about this. Unless we have to do deeds or, you know, you need an original signature on a deed. So you can't avoid that, at least at this time.
Yes.
What is it about office supplies with some people?
I don't know. We have highlighters.
Hold on a second. Some people want to sit down at their desk and they get all their stuff where it needs to be with a little pencil thing.
Right.
You know, we don't need
business cards, make sure it all looks perfect.
We don't even need drawers, I don't think. There's nothing there.
I know. The drawers and things, that's for you, that's where you put your purse and your lunch and your car keys.
I would argue you don't need any of those things.
And your cell phone. But anyway, that, especially your cell phone. Anyway, so that's just kind of, that's one thing.
It's I could rant about that.
Oh, I know. Well, when you're going with your, when you're building your business and doing this, I mean, that's a huge one for me. If you could get a partner, a real partner, who, like Jack said, who complements you, the areas that you lack in, that's awesome. And here's something I also have is funny I was going to share. So last night, I happened to be rewriting my Bigger Pockets bio. I went and looked at it. I'm like, it needs to be updated a little bit. And it was so funny because as I'm writing my bio, it really wasn't my bio. It was our bio. It's impossible.
Oh, that's not good.
So no, but it's good. So go read it. It's impossible for me to describe me without including you and my business without including you. I can't say me, because it's not me. It's us, you know, so
it is now.
I didn't mean to plug you in my bio, but I kind of did plug you in my bio because it's the truth. So there you go. I want you to go read it, Jack. So or Steven, go see what you think. So Steven, Jack.
The other thing that, and this is my final point.
Yeah.
It allows the person to concentrate on what they're really good at.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can, for the first time in a long time, probably for the last year or so, really concentrate on data and spend the extra kind of research time to make it like spectacular. So if you listen to our House Academy show or you follow us on House Academy at all, you know, Jill and I buy houses and we buy land first and foremost, but we also buy houses and wholesale them. And the data piece, that's allowed me to create that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you guys are handling, or you're handling the sales / customer service piece of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger it gets, the bigger that piece gets.
Mm-hmm.
My job doesn't get that much bigger because I can send out 25,000 letters,
right,
or offers just as easy as I can 2,000, and with the help of some overseas people now,
right.
You know.
Exactly.
So my point is that your burden is much bigger than mine, and I'm thanking you on the air.
Thank you, Jack.
That's the whole deal.
I appreciate that. Welcome.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another, I don't know, 20 minutes with us listening to the Land Investors Show. Join us tomorrow where we discuss how to record your own deed stories and why it's so important in sales.
And we answer your questions should you have one. Post it on our online community found at jackjill.com or go straight to landinvestors.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. This really is a lot easier with you than without you.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And it's so nice that we
we know. It's like, you know, things come up, it's automatic. That's your side of the sheet, that's my side of the sheet. There really isn't any dividing it up. I mean, it's we all know what you're good at, we all know what I'm good at.
That didn't happen overnight, as I recall. I think there were some moments where I was wondering if it was going to work at all. I'm sure you had those too.
You know, for me, it was more, I don't know if I had to, I guess I don't really have to prove myself to you, but I had to take some of the ideas and run with them. You know what I mean? Before you really would let me go. Like, you know, you had to hear me do it. You didn't know I could automatically jump in and do it. When you said, hey, see if you can sell these, I'm like, well, I can sell that. And then you're going, oh, wow, I guess you can.
Well, that's what happened. Then I'm like, well, what can't you sell? And because you took the bottom of the barrel of land, as far as land goes, and turned it into, you took property. I should have said this on the air, on the regular show. You took property that I mentally wrote off.
Yeah.
I'm like, we just can't sell this. And it's not because it's not bad property. That wasn't it at all. It was just because we had so much of it. We had tens of thousands of these properties laying around, literally.
Right. And just got pushed down on the list and you didn't care about it.
Right.
And
because we long made our money out of it.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
We still have property lingering around like
that.
Oh,
I know.
Amazing.
It always happens. Hey, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there.
We are Jack and Jill.
Information and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.